Good morning.
Good morning.
As most of you know, we are going to be hosting the Interfaith Shelter Network coming up in February 8th through the 22nd, in conjunction with All Souls. And today we have with us Kelsey Martinez, and he's going to give us a little background and a little bit more information.
Thank you.
There are sign-up sheets in the fellowship hall, and we need lots of volunteers to make this work. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good morning. So my name is Kelsey. I work with Interfaith Shelter Network as the outreach coordinator. And I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about what our program is and what we do for the community. So we've been in operation for the last 34 years. We started out as a shelter for single men who were looking for employment to get back on their feet. And since then, we've evolved into this program now, where we have 8 branches across the county. St. Peter's and All Souls, they are part of our Beaches branch. And we no longer only serve single men. Now we serve families with children, single fathers with children, adult couples, and it's all situationally homeless people, meaning some major life event has happened to cause them to lose their home. Maybe their car broke down, and they fell behind on rent payments and they lost their home, or maybe somebody in their family passed away, and medical bills took them away from their home. So we try and step in before they, fall into the chronically homeless population. And over the past 34 years, 56% of our population from our shelters has moved into permanent housing, which is great for San Diego, and that number is limited only by funding. So we are working on more housing funding, and actually this last summer we had a branch and every single person in our shelter went into housing, so we're hoping to have that this year as well for your Beaches branch. And of the people that we place in housing, 92% stay housed and stable 2 years after we have exited them from our program. So it is a very successful program. I have been with it for a very short time, but I'm very proud of the work that they do. So I wanted to thank all of you for being participants, and I encourage you to please sign up to volunteer. There's opportunities for overnight hosts, bringing meals, dinners, laundry service, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you about our program a little bit further and what we do. So after your sermon, I'll be out in the foyer there at one of the tables. I'd be more than happy to give you more information.
Thank you.
Thanks.
How exciting. Bev Mitchell is one that we give communion to in her seat, and I understand that we're having our fellowship hour, a cake for your birthday. And so let's sing happy birthday to Bev for how many years, Bev? You don't tell, okay. That's more than 33. Okay, let's sing happy birthday, Bev.
Birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Bev. Happy birthday to you.
Congratulations. Let's listen to our wonderful youth choir sing the prelude music. Soloist was Ian Smart. We sing together our opening hymn, Baptized in Water.
Thank you.
baptize in water, by the Spirit, that in the tomb with Christ our King, one with his rising, freed and forgiven, thankfully now God's praise we sing. Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, marked with the sign of Christ our King. Of the Spirit, we are God's children.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God our Father, at the baptism of Jesus, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful to their calling to be your daughters and sons, and empower us all with your Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Today, children, the lesson is on Jesus' baptism. And it's the first time when we bring together in a real separate but unified way what we call the Trinity. And that is, we understand God to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in Jesus' baptism, of course, we have Jesus, but then we have this voice from heaven, which is God's voice, the Father, and then we have the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when I do chapel for the preschoolers, I always begin the service with a song which is about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's a song that they have them clap in rhythm. And then I sing something, and they sing it back. And I sing something, and they sing it back. And so I want to see if we can do it. I'm going to teach it to you, and then we'll take the leader part, and we'll teach it to them, okay? Okay, here we go. Clap in this rhythm. Okay, you sing back what I sing. In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Spirit, all three in one, all three in one. Okay, one more time. In the name of the Father,
in the name of the Son,
in the name of the Spirit, all three in one, all three in one. Okay, good. Now we're going to teach it to them. That means you're going to take my part and you're going to stand up because we're going to teach them. Now, they're not as good as you guys, so get a little bit generous with them, okay? Everybody out here, watch the time. Here we go. Okay, you're singing with me, right?
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Spirit.
All three in one, all three in one. Good job, okay. Then we do the sign of the cross, and I always do it this way. In the name of the Father, who is the head, in the name of the Son, who is the heart, and in the name of the Spirit, who are the arms. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your Sunday school class. Thank you very much for your help. You guys are great.
Jesus.
Our first reading is a reading from Isaiah. Here is my spirit, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and a spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisons those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
So let us pray Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to God's name. Worship the Lord in beauty and holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth, and lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness like a ash.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned and has chained forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace.
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was
in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is a reading from Acts. Peter began to speak, Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witness to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia.
Lord,
to whom shall we go?
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
May be seated. So last week I talked to you about the first chapter of John's Gospel, and I came up with three different things from that first chapter that are kind of signposts for us to be aware of as Christians. And this week the lesson is in Matthew's Gospel, not John, and it's Jesus' baptism. But as I was reading through the lesson, including verses that are prior to this one, it was clear to me that what was being talked about was like an illustration of the lesson from last week. So I'm going to bring in the lesson from last week, and each lesson will teach us things from the baptism of Jesus. And then the next week, we're going to go being back to the first chapter of John's Gospel. So, last week's lesson began with the first words of John 1:1, which is, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we talked about how Jesus is that Word, and later on in that first chapter, John will say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's John's Christmas story. All he has for Christmas is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But I think it's wonderful to be thinking of Jesus as God's Word and how important words are for all of us. And in our lesson for today, we have a fulfillment of prophecy. And of course, when we go back to, if you remember back from my Christmas sermon, Jesus is brought to the birth in Matthew's Gospel according to five prophecies. And of those five prophecies, two are from Isaiah, and three others are from other prophets. And so Matthew wants us to know how important it is that Jesus is a fulfillment of all that's taking place in time. And these prophets have announced that. Now we have a sixth prophecy in Matthew's Gospel, and that prophecy is about Jesus' baptism. And here we have the voice, the prophet from Isaiah says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." That's the prophecy that was fulfilled through Jesus. So six prophecies, three from the book of Isaiah and three from other prophets. But I think there's such a tendency for us to think as the Word of God being the Bible when it's not. And so I wanted to kind of make sure you understand the distinction there. Jesus is the Word of God. And the Word made flesh, it's not everything in the Bible, because everything in the Bible can, in fact, even be contrary to the way of Jesus. In fact, Jesus had problems with things that are going on in the Bible, and many times he would use Bible references to say how the Pharisees and Sadducees were wrong, and that they were saying things and doing things that were not in keeping with what he understood to be the will of God, which was a very loving and caring rather than judgmental and condemning kind of understanding. And so in the Bible, we have to have that understanding of that distinction. I always see it as we look at everything in the Bible through the lens of Jesus. So wherever we go, we're looking and seeing this is Jesus, and he's going to color everything we see in the Bible. And if we do that, then we're going to have a better understanding of what God's will is and his purpose is. If we don't take that lens of Jesus with us, we can oftentimes be going down a path that will lead us in a very negative way to a part of life that people call as Christian when it isn't. Because it has to do with this being judging and condemning kind of thing. And so we make that distinction. It's an important distinction to make, that Jesus is God's Word, and that Word informs us. For example, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, Satan used scriptures to tempt Jesus. Jesus was told to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, and because it is written, says the scriptures, that he will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. But then Jesus uses another Bible verse in order to counteract that verse. And that was that Jesus said, it is also written that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So, the Bible's still good, it's just that we have to put it in the proper context. Without the proper context, and that is the context of Jesus, we can be led down a wrong path, and it's important for us to make sure we understand that. Secondly, from last week's lesson, we heard that he was in the world, and the world was created through him, but the world did not know him. And so I talk really in depth about the distinctions between the way of the world and the way of God being contrary to each other. And so I talked about what I call the God's economy. That God's economy is that the more you give away, the more you have. And in the world's economy, the more you give away, the less you have. It's totally opposite. And it's by and large because there's a different definition of what wealth is. Wealth in the world is money, power, and resources. And of course, the more you give away, the less you have. But Jesus and God's definition of wealth is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those things, the more you give away, the more you have. It's a beautiful understanding, I think, of faith. And again, it's so important for the world to hear these words because it's not the way of the world. Secondly, we talked about leadership. Leadership, as according to the world, is dictatorial. It is telling people what to do. It is being number one. But for Jesus, leadership is servanthood. It is caring for one another. It is being someone who's willing to be your slave and lift you up rather than yourself. Now, our lesson for today, which is John the Baptist, also teaches us another distinction. And that is the distinction where John is on one side and Jesus on the other side. And John knew that there was a distinction, right? I mean, John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, I think John had a different understanding what the fire was going to be, but we'll eventually find out what that fire will be. But John sees there's a very big distinction there. And so when John sees Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him, he says, you brood of vipers, snakes, who warned you to repent the wrath that is to come? And the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And he says, the Lord is coming with his sickle, and he's going to put his grain in his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. I mean, it doesn't warm your heart, does it? John is so unbelievably condemning and persecuting and someone who wants to point out other people's sins rather than what we know Jesus to be, which is someone who, and we don't know it from this point in the gospel, but later we'll learn that Jesus is the one who people criticize for being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus is the one who is going to be accepting of people who other people want to condemn. Jesus is going to be the one who includes people when other people are going to exclude them. Jesus is the one who's going to love them and forgive them rather than condemn them and persecute them. I mean, there's a real big distinction between the way of the world and the way of God, according to Jesus. And then finally, the lesson from last week said that that you shall receive, those who receive me and who call upon my name shall be called and be given the power to become children of God. Here we have Jesus receiving what John has to offer. And think about it. Jesus had to come from Galilee to seek out John. And that meant, I said it on Christmas too, when Jesus was born in Galilee, that's 67 miles to travel for him to get to John in Jerusalem and where he's baptizing in the River Jordan. But Jesus went those miles in order to seek out John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he seems to recognize him immediately. Because then John says, I'm supposed to be baptized by you. Why do you want me to baptize you? So Jesus is seeking that baptism. And then Jesus says, let it be done so to fulfill all righteousness. Now we had a little discussion on this with my deacons last week. And I've kind of modified my view a little bit. But I think that Jesus is saying to fulfill all righteousness, he's opening up the way of baptism to all believers. So that now, through this single act of baptism, now all of us can be baptized as Jesus was baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit and being declared to be God's child. I don't think you become God's child through baptism. I think you're already God's child. But I think you are declared God's child. And sometimes we need that. We need that physical, verbal affirmation that we are a child of God. So, Jennifer here, Jennifer Colby, was my first baptism here at, first and only baptism here at St. Peter's, although I think there's somebody who might be baptized next week. But Jennifer was asked to be baptized. And by and large, she was asked to be baptized because she saw in the bulletin that you should be baptized in order to receive communion. Now, I don't necessarily believe that, but that's the way your church had it laid out. And Jennifer wanted to be included because that was what she was hearing her whole life, that she needed to be baptized in order to receive communion. And I said, that's fine. We'll do that. And Rose here was her sponsor. And how wonderful that is to have somebody sitting right next to you who's a part of that. Well, then just recently, Jennifer told me that she was in her car and she was praying, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. And then she was put in a situation where she could have lost her life, but didn't. And so she felt that God was speaking to her in a specific way because of that circumstance. And I think that's something all of us can grab onto, that we are children of God, that we are affirm that becoming a child of God through baptism, but that we know that God is there for us and going to provide for us, whatever it might be. And sometimes it might be in the life to come, but it might be in this life. But the fact is that we are assured of that claim that God calls us by name, that we trust in him, and what his will and his way is for us is a good thing. And it will always be a blessing to us. May God help us all to affirm the will of God in our lives and to know that because we are baptized, that God has made that clear, that we have received him and we call on his name. And then we are given power to become children of God. Amen.